Good afternoon. Thank you. I will be doing a presentation. I've been given very few minutes, and you can imagine all the way from Zimbabwe to have few minutes here. If you bear with me, if I just start to go on and on like my former leader. The topic I'll be presenting on, and I hope to really speak on it, is the impact of economical situations on migration and how migration affects the economic situation of families. I will really read my presentation. In 2018, more than 244 million people have been living outside their countries of birth, while the stock of international migration is at an all-time high now. It is believed to be increasing by nearly 4.4 million each year. The majority of these migrants made the choice to move to another country for economic or family-related reasons. A majority of about 58% of migrants are living in developing countries, while 42% are being hosted by developing countries. Of those migrants that live in a developed country, 39% originate from another developed country, whereas 61% come from a developing country. This global movement of people has, among others, broad economic consequences affecting families in the process. Now, this presentation looks at the economic and some social impacts of migration on countries of origin and also on countries of destination. And in most cases, it is the South that is, which are countries of origin, and then the North become the countries of destination. And what do I mean by the South and North? Most developing countries, and in this case I'll take an example of Africa as a continent, are referred to as the countries in the South. And most European countries are developed and are referred to as destination countries. So with regard to the migration phenomena, there is most people are migrating from South to the North. But as I've already alluded to, we have seen that also there's a lot of migration within the South, which we call the South-South migration. While the focus has been on South-North migration, the number of migrants between developing countries is estimated to be as large as the number of migrants moving from South to North. Thus, economic implications of migration and the need to manage in migration are as relevant to the South as they are to the North. Although violent conflict, political persecution and trafficking are important causes for international mobility, more than 9 out of 10 international migrants move for economic reasons. Thus, by and large, migration has both positive and negative economic impacts on migrant households from the sending country as well as to the receiving countries. I'll quickly go on to the economic implications of migration for the countries of origin. Migration is a decision that impacts the welfare of the household, the home community, and in the end, the whole economy in various ways, particularly with regards to African countries. The welfare implications of migration on countries of origin are most often, though not always, sizable and positive. The main channels through which migration alleviates poverty are increased incomes from remittances, ability to smooth consumption, access to finance for starting a new business, as well as tapping on the knowledge and resources provided by international community of the migrants in diaspora. Yet, not all impacts are positive. The negative ones are exploitation of migrants by unscrupulous recruiters or employers has been reportedly been widespread. Separation from family can be stressful for migrants, and large-scale immigration can pose serious challenges to a nation's identity and sovereignty. Migration, as I have already alluded to, has some economic implications, mainly to the host societies and to the countries of origins. Remittances sent home are perhaps the most tangible and least controversial link between migration and economic development. According to official estimates, migrants from developing countries, and in this case, I will be referring the African countries, have sent over $315 billion to their countries of origin in the year 2015. This is three times the size of official development assistance to these nations. The true size of remittances at times from where we come from, African continent, have not been really recorded through formal data collecting systems, but there are a lot of remittances which find their ways to Africa through informal channels, which are likely to be higher. Migration and remittances have both direct and indirect effects on the welfare of the population in the migrant sending countries. In a study of some developing countries in Africa, they found that 10% increase in per capita official international remittances will lead to 3.5% decline in share of people living in poverty. So this is a positive that we are seeing, that through migration, then people who would have migrated send back home some remittances, and in the process addressing the issue of poverty. Remittances have been found to have an income stabilizing effect at both micro level and household level. Historically, remittances from migrants have tended to rise in times of economic downturns, financial crises, and natural disasters, because migrants living abroad send more money to help their families back home. In Ghana, for example, remittances are found to help households to minimize the effects of economic shocks on household welfare. Remittances in receiving households in Ethiopia is another example. They have used their cash reserves and have avoided having to sell their livestock to cope with drought. And in recent evidence from Mali confirms that a substantial part of remittances is saved for unexpected events, and the migrant thus serves as an insurer for the whole household. Migrant remittances also increase domestic savings as well as improve financial intermediation, which can improve growth prospects. Factoring the remittance inflows correctly into macroeconomic analysis is also likely to improve the credit rating and external debt sustainability of remittance receiving countries. Because they are a large and stable source of foreign currency, remittances are likely to curtail investor panic and prevent sudden current account reversals during a crisis. Furthermore, future flows of remittances can be used as collateral by governments and private sector entities in developing countries to raise financing in international capital markets. These innovative financing mechanisms can be used to raise funds for development projects such as low-income housing and water supply. Thus, the diaspora might serve as a link between the sending and receiving communities, and it expands the opportunities to access international financing and facilitates networking. The diaspora also contributes through philanthropic remittances and the development of their former communities through hometown associations and collective financing of development projects, such as schools, health facilities, and community infrastructure. I cannot imagine what she is telling me. I can't. Emigrants may also be an important supply of foreign investment. I have alluded thus to. One important aspect I'm now trying just to put the points in brief. Migration can contribute to human capital formation. There is a growing body of evidence suggesting that income from remittances is disproportionately spent on education rather than health. Therefore, it enhances the development of people through enrollment in schools back into countries of origin. Also, it has been, there's evidence that high-skilled emigration, or the so-called brain drain, can imply a loss of public resources invested in their education and can reduce the sending country's productive capacity and can worsen the business environment, especially in small economies. And this is a negative of what we see in Africa. I think there are a lot of people emigrating to the north, thereby affecting the economies where they are coming from. So that's a negative of migration. And there are, of course, the social impacts of migration, which if we get into the depth of it, we find that families psychosocially are affected by the movement or migration of a parent to another country. Let me quickly move on to some conclusions. Migration, what we've seen from an African perspective, should be incorporated both in development cooperation strategies in the north as well as in national poverty reduction strategies in the south. Although as of yet, it is rare in practice, there are some cases of successful strategies of cooperation between the sending and receiving countries to manage migration. And these areas of cooperation include the drivers of migration in the source country and networks that move people across borders and integrating the legal migrants into their destination country. While many developing countries have large stocks of immigrants, very few of them have explicit policies on how to deal with immigration or the capacity to manage their borders effectively. And I think this is the current problem we have, or the challenge we have. Thus, similarly, to the destination countries in the north, there are calls in developing countries to focus on attracting the highly skilled migrants, discouraging irregular migration, and we have increased reports of growing xenophobia. And lastly, empowering the sending and receiving countries in the South is possible and can be able to manage international mobility that will benefit migrants, the host societies, and the country of origin. Thank you.